It seemed that no matter what Antane did, the elders erupted into purple-faced rage and sputtering incoherence. "Antane," the elders barked, "stand up straight! Antane, what have you done with the proclamations? Antane, wipe that ridiculous look off your face! Antane, how could you have forgotten the snacks? Antane, what on earth have you spilled all over your robes?" Antane, it seemed, could not do anything right. His home life wasn't any better. "How can you possibly still be an elder in training?" his mother fumed night after night at supper. Sometimes she'd let her spoon come crashing down to the table, making the servants jump. "My brother promised me that you would be an elder by now. He promised!" And she would seethe and grumble until Antane's youngest brother, Wynn, began to cry. Antane was the oldest of six brothers, a small family by protectorate standards, and ever since his father died, his mother wanted nothing else but to make sure that each of her sons achieved the very best that the protectorate had to offer. Because didn't she, after all, deserve the very best when it came to sons? "Uncle tells me that things take time, Mother," Antane said quietly. He pulled his toddler brother onto his lap and began rocking until the child calmed. He pulled a wooden toy that he had carved himself from his pocket, a little crow with spiral eyes and a clever rattle inside its belly. The boy was delighted and instantly shoved it into his mouth. "Your uncle can boil his head," she fumed. "We deserve that honor. I mean, you deserve it, my dear son." Antane wasn't so sure. He excused himself from the table, mumbling something about having work to do for the council, but really he only planned on sneaking into the kitchen to help the kitchen staff, and then into the gardens to help the gardeners in the last of the daylight hours. And then he went into the shed to carve wood. Antane loved woodworking. The stability of the material, the delicate beauty of the grain, the comforting smell of sawdust and oil. There were few things in his life that he loved more. He carved and worked deep into the night, trying his best not to think about his life. The next day of sacrifice was approaching, after all, and Antane would need yet another excuse to make himself scarce. The next morning, Antane donned his freshly laundered robe and headed into the council hall well before dawn. Every day, his first task of the morning was to read through the citizen complaints and requests that had been scrawled with bits of chalk on the large slate wall, and deem which ones were worth attention and which should simply be washed down and erased.
"But what if they all are important, Uncle?" Antane had asked the Grand Elder once.
"They can't possibly be. In any case, by denying access, we give our people a gift. They learn to accept their lot in life. They learn that any action is inconsequential. Their days remain, as they should be, cloudy. There is no greater gift than that. Now, where is my Zirin tea?"
Next, Antane was to air out the room, then post the day's agendas, then fluff the cushions for the elders' bony bottoms, then spray the entrance room with some kind of perfume concocted in the laboratories of the Sisters of the Star, designed, apparently, to make people feel wobbly-kneed and tongue-tied and frightened and grateful all at once. And then he was to stand in the room as the servants arrived, giving each one an imperious expression as they entered the building, before hanging up his robes in the closet and going to school.
"But what if I don't know how to make an imperious expression, Uncle?"
the boy asked again and again.
"Practice, nephew. Continue to practice."
Antane walked slowly toward the schoolhouse, enjoying the temporary glimmers of sun overhead. It would be cloudy in an hour. It was always cloudy in the Protectorate. Fog clung to the city walls and cobbled streets like tenacious moss. Not many people were out and about that early in the morning. Pity, thought Antane. They're missing the sunlight. He lifted his face and felt that momentary rush of hope and promise. He let his eyes drift toward the tower, its black, devilishly complicated stonework mimicking the whorls of galaxies and the trajectories of stars, its small, round windows winking outward like eyes. That mother.